Now, Monday, Labor Day night, we will have a live program for you. So enjoy the day, you working men and women around this country. And then at night, just sit back and get ready for a live program on Coast to Coast. It's going to be about reincarnation and ghosts. First hour, we may be talking with Paul Smith, who has written a book called Reading the Enemy's Mind. It's on a remote viewing. Paul's been on the program before. I am asking Paul to react to a story that the Soviets at the time used remote viewing to try to peek in on U.S. presidents, try to figure out what they were thinking. It's an incredible story. So stick with us on Monday night. On Labor Day night, we'll have a live program for you. You know, more than a third of the Americans in a new poll expect the United States to be involved in a nuclear war during the next 50 years. A majority of Americans, 56%, also think overpopulation will be a major problem in the next 50 years, causing a strain on food and resources. So I am opening up the third of our trilogy hotlines tonight. This one is the future line. Look into your crystal ball. What do you see the future to be? That phone number is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Let's go to the phones. We've got open lines for you for the rest of this hour. It's been a very fast night. And don't forget again, Labor Day night, Monday night, live program for you, wherever you may be. Next up, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. This is Sean in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Hey, sir. How are you?
Okay. I'm great. I'm listening to you on 600 WMT.
Good.
And long-time listener to the show, well, 5 or 6 years. I discovered the show on Halloween night, Ghost to Ghost.
That's the best time to find us, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of Art Bell's traditional shows. He's going to do that again for us this year, by the way.
Great. The call I'm calling about, actually, I guess it qualifies as the scariest moment. A couple of buddies of mine, a couple of weeks ago, we got out a Ouija board. We're in the third story of my friend's house. And I jokingly asked it, I thought of you, and I said, why do some people like George Norrie have bad experiences with the Ouija board? And it said, George Bad.
I am not.
Okay, well, I said, yeah, right, okay. And I asked the same question again, and it said, he illuminates.
He illuminates. That's
okay,
interesting.
I asked if he could be a little more specific. He warns others.
Huh.
And I said, okay, because I thought one of my buddies was doing this, you know. I said, where's some proof that you're a spirit? And it said, window. So we all turned and looked towards the window. This is the third story in the attic. There is a shadow outside the window. It was dark outside, but, I mean, this is darker than dark. I don't know how to explain it. And this silhouette of a, I suppose from the chest up, had red glowing eyes.
And you could see that how close?
It was like right outside the window.
That's unbelievable.
There's no ledge, you know, that anyone could have stood on it. Like I say, this is the window for a finished attic. And it just creeped us out big time.
So some of those spirits don't like me.
Evidently this one didn't. You warn people.
Now, at least he listens to the show.
Well, yeah, there's that.
You got it. Hey, thanks.
Thanks
a
lot.
I appreciate it. The demons are listening to the program. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Larry in San Francisco.
Hello, Larry. By the way, I'm going to be out there Saturday. I don't know if you have time.
Can I get tickets?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but go to the Bay Area UFOExpo.com.
Okay.
And just to see what they've got going on there. I'm going to be there Saturday from 1 to 3. So if you're there, come on by.
Thank you. Hey, have you seen the documentary Who Killed the Electric Car by Chris Payne?
I have not.
It's highly recommended. It's just a shame what GM did to those cars.
Do they name names?
Oh, God. You should see Clinton is talking about, we're going to have clean electric cars, and GM Ford, Chrysler CEOs are sitting right next to him, and they're all squirming and looking away. And
smirking, yeah.
Not smirking, grimacing. They just go, oh, God, the guy mentioned electric cars. You know, these things are so efficient. They're like a penny to two pennies a mile to run. They don't want us to have them. They don't want to give up the $6 billion a year they make in oil changes.
Well, I got to tell you, they are going to have to do something pretty soon if they want to survive.
You know, I have been driving gasoline and oil-free for about a year now. I have an electric car, and I drive a vegetable-powered diesel. I don't spend a cent on gas.
Well, and you know what? You just said something that was probably the most poignant thing that anybody's ever said. Most of the automobile dealers, there are a lot of hardworking mechanics out there, but they make their money not really just in the sale of the cars, but the maintenance and the repairs in the warranties to the automobile. Oh, absolutely. That's their profit margin right there.
No, they were talking about they bring this car in, they fill the tires with air, top off the windshield wiper fluid, send it out back on the road.
It's gone.
And they don't make any money.
No.
They crushed all those cars. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
They took them to their Arizona testing ground, GM's testing ground. They took these 1,000 cars, crushed them, destroyed all evidence, would not let one of the leasees buy a car.
It's going to happen in some industrialist who's got the capital.
Well, I think it's already happened. You've talked about the Tesla car, haven't you?
Yeah. The one that they had it out here about 3 weeks ago.
250 miles, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. What else can you want?
Yeah, but it's $100,000.
True. See, I built my car for about six grand.
What's it look like?
A Ford Aspire. Have you ever seen a Ford Aspire, a little bitty little car?
Yeah. Like the old Focus, right?
Something like a Focus. Yeah. It's like a cut-down version. And another buddy, he's got a VW Rabbit he did. I mean, they work great. I'd run it around San Francisco. It cost me about a penny and a half a mile to run.
And what kind of mileage are you getting?
I can drive it about 60 miles before I have to charge it.
God, you can't beat that.
Well, I mean,
For what you're doing, I mean, it's not a long-distance trip vehicle.
No, you wouldn't want to do that. I mean, the thing about it is, if I had the batteries these other guys have, the $5,000 pack.
Yeah, how long does it take to charge up your car?
Well, with my primitive equipment, takes me 8 hours. But
so why don't you go out and get some venture capital? I mean, you're right there where they have all the money.
These guys are already doing it. As a matter of fact, they're going to have a nice 4-passenger car for about 50 grand. And then
25,000, they'll sell them like hotcakes.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's other companies coming out with the 25,000 version. So, and look for Mitsubishi and I think, Mitsubishi and Subaru have prototypes, and they're going to sell, I think, one's coming out in 2007.
So what are your payments? So you get one for $25,000. Let's say you lease it for 3 years. What do you like, $300 a month, something like that?
For that kind of car, they're like, $299 a month.
Like that. See, that becomes affordable for a lot of people.
Well, I tell you, the upkeep is just amazing. See, I drive these cars all the time, and as a matter of fact, I work on them once in a while.
What would happen to your insurance? Would that go down too?
About the same. I've noticed a little bit.
Well, liability stays the same. And how fast do these cars go?
Well, the problem is there's hard to tell because let's say I have a DC motor with 96 volts. I go 65 miles an hour. If I make that 144 volts, I'll go 150 miles an hour.
My God, you go that fast?
If you double the voltage, you quadruple the horsepower. So with electric, it's a whole different ball game.
Now, how did you make this?
Well, I got a kit from KTA Services down in somewhere near L.A.
Were you mechanically inclined?
Yeah, I've always tinkered. I've always been a backyard mechanic, so it was very easy. As a matter of fact, having an electric is simpler than the gas.
You've got
20 systems to make a gas car go. I got a motor, a controller, and batteries. That's it.
Why don't you set up a little business where you get these kits and install them for people?
Well, there's people around here who do that. People in Santa Cruz that do this. So
if you're not very good mechanically, you don't have to worry about it. Somebody will do it for you.
And these basically are big golf carts. The systems we use are DC. They're not advanced systems. They're basically large golf cart components. And instead of going 15 miles an hour, the components are big enough to make you go 50, 60, and 70 miles an hour.
But you know what? I'd have to have a car that goes beyond 60 miles total.
Well, what if just for around town?
Yeah, but you know, in Los Angeles, that's like
That's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be stranded somewhere.
See, now in San Francisco, it's an 8 by 10 grid. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. But, you know, my veggie car is what I'd use in L.A. I run it on vegetable oil that I get from a Chinese restaurant.
There's a guy in St. Louis, he drives around with a hemp mobile.
What the heck?
Yep, he does. And he's getting
is he happy all the time?
Yeah. I don't know about him, but the people parked behind him are. All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to our future line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
My name's William from Cleveland.
Hi, William.
This scrapbook I have was called A Vision Scrapbook of the Future. I played in a haunted house back in 1982, and I got a vision. And it scares everyone that I shows it to, because it took me 5 years to put together. I put it together with over 1,000 photos of the past. But recently, as we go through the book, some of the events that has happened and the way the book portrays Iran in the Middle East and a possible nuclear confrontation, even some reverends that looked at it said this was very interesting. Did you copy this?
Now, William, you have this going out how many years into the future?
Well, when I put it together, I completed it in 87. It's authentic because all the photographs in it is from back then, cut out of 1,000 magazines.
Okay.
But when they look at it, and the events that has happened in the past 10 or 15 years, and the way it portrays Iran, the Middle East, I use fires and suns to make it look like the world caught fire. But everybody said this is really original and scary, you know.
Now, did you do this, William, initially just to be like artwork, or did you really think you were looking into the future?
Well, I did artwork, but I never in my wildest imagination would I think it would come out like this after the events, because I kind of put it in the closet away for a while.
Did you have any psychic abilities, or have you had any?
As far as a vision, the only thing I can say is that at that haunted house, it was at a real closed-down funeral home. And the only thing scared me was I had got dizzy and I got this vision. I got this vision to put the scrapbook together.
What does the last page look like?
Whoa. The last page is a scorched, not the last page, the page before the last page is a scorched earth. The last page shows 10,000 B.C., and it shows plants growing again.
Like we had to revert back to the beginning of time again.
Right, and every page has a quotation on it. I cut out a book of philosophies, goes with all the photographs, and that last page, I put in there a woman's voice and a man's voice speaking, and they had to. It was like a vision, like they would have to start all over again.
Like Adam and Eve?
Sort of.
God, how can we take a look at this, William? I mean, do you have the ability to scan some pages on a computer?
Yes, I can. You have a email.
Yeah, let me give it to you now. You ready?
Okay. Let me write this down right now.
Tell me when you're all set, and I'll just give it to you. And I'd like to take a look at it. And in your email, give us permission to post some of those on our website.
Yes, you can.
Okay, and it's just George.
Okay.
At coast2coastam.com.
Okay, say that again. Coast2coastam.
am.com. All right, you send that right to us, and we'll take a look at it. That's fascinating. That's the prediction line. That's what we want tonight. 818-817-0021. Thanks, William. Appreciate you being on the program. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, is this George?
Yeah, it sure is.
Hey, George, how you doing? This is Jay Quinnell. I'm a local teacher here in Kennewick, Washington.
Yeah, Jay, hi.
I had some predictions on what I think the next 50 years is going to bring about.
Okay, now, is this based on you being psychic or just intuitive?
No, it's just what I think might happen.
Just the gut, okay.
Yeah, just the gut feeling. I'm pretty excited because I think that people are going to be able to start, all these billionaires, you know, are going to be able to start funding their own space exploration.
I think you're right about that.
And so I'm pretty excited because I think we're going to actually be able to find out some stuff, like about aliens and other terrestrials and stuff that, you know, we aren't able to know right now from these rich people funding their own stuff and letting out their own information.
Would you go into space at the right time?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If I had the funding for it, any time.
In a heartbeat, huh?
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I would. I'm going to try to talk the network into writing the check.
Yeah, well, if you need a co-pilot, let me know.
Okay, you got it. I know Virgin Airlines, right? They're Branson. He's getting there. He's taking orders, and I think it's $200,000 a pop. And trying to get the network to pay for it. I'd go. Absolutely. I would go. I'd take my tape recorder. I'd take some kind of live video apparatus, and up I'd go. And be very fascinating. I would love to report on that. I'd probably try to take Richard C. Hoagland with me. And then we'd jettison Richard into space, and off he would go, just like one of those movies. But if you need to email me, like I just mentioned, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. And I also want to let you know that this Saturday I will be in San Francisco in that area at the Bay Area UFO Expo. If you want some information, they've got an incredible program with a lot of people, a lot of guests that you hear on Coast to Coast. You'll be able to see them in person. I'm going to be there from 1 to 3 for an event. You can call 209-836-4281, or if you have a computer, it's thebayareaufoexpo.com. Simple as that. So go ahead and take a look, and if you're going to be out that way, we would love to talk with you. When I come back, it'll be our final little Twilight Zone extravaganza clip. We'll play that for you. And then we'll also take final phone calls. This has been a very fast night. Don't forget, again, Monday night, we will have a live program, Labor Day Monday night. After all of you enjoy the holiday with your family, you've worked for it. Take the day off and enjoy it. Me, on the meantime, hey, I enjoy being with you. I'll be back. Future Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, hi. My name is Jennifer. It's first time caller as well. But
hi, Jennifer.
I have a BA in anthropology and a almost MA in international affairs. And I've also been a little bit psychic all my life with a high sense of intuition. From a small child, I always sensed there was something important that was going to be happening in the world. And as I've gotten older, the timeline, it just stayed in the one timeline, and as I got closer to it, and it's basically within the next 5 years. But I was listening to a previous caller, a hypnotist, a doctor that you had on, who was talking about patients who were seeing the future.
Yes.
And I really kind of feel like that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be more, it's not going to be this horrible cataclysmic event that's going to happen, but it is going to be something that's going to change. There's going to be a whole change in mindset. It's going to be spiritual. It's going to be, from my international perspective, our economy is definitely going to change. We're no longer going to be the leader in the world, Western world. And that's all shifting. And that's already starting to happen. And so that's kind of how I see it. It's going to be kind of a change in outlook for us as Americans, as well as where we hold ourselves. And then the other thing I want to mention is the whole population explosion myth is a myth.
Why?
Because there's the UN. Actually, that's what I was doing my thesis on, was the UN reform. And there's a whole group of people who are trying to propose that, you know, the world's having a population explosion and we need to control population. And in actuality, in Western civilization, and people do research on this, you'll find it, there's a decline. And it's because of, you know, birth control and all the different things that have been happening in the last 50 to 100 years. But in the third world countries, they are increasing. So that's something that people need to know, and that's a political agenda. You know, they're trying to get people all excited and worried about it, that the world, you know, we're going to run out of our resources, but that's not true. It's just like I said, it's shifting, but the world is going to be shifting, and, you know.
Well, I've long said, and a number of people believe that we do not have an oil problem. It's there, that there's an abundance on this planet.
Oh, yeah.
That could last for thousands and thousands of years. I still think we need to get away from that dependence, but it's there.
Right. And it's also, you know, the other caller you had about electric cars. I'm with that guy, too.
Me too.
I think,
yep.
You know, I mean, alternative fuels, alternative energy sources, that's our future. And those people are going to be fighting it and kicking it and causing wars because of it. And that's that mindset needs to change. And I just want to end real quickly on a push for this website that I came across that's changed my life and my outlook on life.
Well, I'll tell you what you'll do on that. If you want to email it to me, because other than a website that might have some medical help for someone directly, I don't want to keep putting websites on the program, okay? Thanks. I appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hey, this is Charlie from Traverse City, Michigan.
Hello, Charlie.
I have got a demon story for you.
All right, take it away.
But first, I wanted to say, you said something like about an hour ago about Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah.
Ontario, and there's Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan,
right.
And they happen to be like butting up next to each other, and just one's on one side of Lake Huron, the other's on the other side of Lake Huron.
See, I always thought that was a duplicate on my maps.
Yeah.
So there's two of them.
Not...
Just like St. Louis, East St. Louis, almost.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and there's other cities like that. And there was one more thing, and that was Who Killed the Electric Car was a film in our Traverse City Film Festival this year. And I saw it, and it's an excellent, excellent movie.
How was it received out there? Pretty good?
Oh, it was received very, very, very well. And you just need to see it.
Okay.
Yeah, all the listeners out there, you just need to see this movie. It's incredible. But anyway, on to my demon story. I heard about an hour and 45 minutes ago that you were doing the scary thing, the scariest moment of your life. And this actually just happened to me about a month ago. I was in Switzerland, of all places, with my girlfriend.
Well, that's a neat place to go.
And it's a very nice place to go. I did this Voyagers International tour with a band from Michigan. And so we're on the bus, and we're going between Zermatt and Krems, Montana. It's just right in the middle of the country. And she all of a sudden has her left arm completely seize up. And that's her dominant arm. So.
And this has never happened to her before?
No, this has happened to her before, but she hadn't ever had this happen in front of people. And what happens is her left arm would just seized up, and she started breathing pretty shallowly. And we went. I told my friend to go get a chaperone, so now it was just in earshot, it was just me and her.
Okay.
And so she started humming a very low tone under her breath, humming it. And I put my ear close to her face, and I could hear this hum. And then she looked up at me, but she was looking to her left. And that's a significance because how I eventually got her out of this trance was turning her head, but... She was looking at me to her left, and she said, Storm Crow.
Storm Crow?
Storm Crow. And I didn't understand what it meant.
Nor
and
do
then,
I.
Yeah, and then she said, and her pupils dilated at this point, Storm Crow is coming. And at that point, she then muttered something in a tongue that she's never spoken intelligibly before, and I cannot repeat to you because it's just that.
I understand. And this must have scared the heck out of you.
Heck out of me. And then she said, in a voice two octaves below her normal voice, Storm Crow is here. And at that point, I looked off to my left, which was also her left, and I looked out into this field, and there was this figure standing out in the middle of the field. And he was made up of skins of different races held together by black.
Well, was he wearing it like a coat, or, I mean, this was him?
He was wearing this black kind of like a monk suit, but his face was made up of these different race of human skins, and they were held together by these blackness.
Do you think this guy had like an operation or something?
No, it was not. I can tell you this much: it was not of this world. And I looked because I was trying to see its eyes, and his eyes were just black pits. And as I'm looking at this figure, in that same voice, my girlfriend says to me, "It's too late," and starts going into hysterics.
Now, by this time, are other people on the bus noticing what's going on here?
They noticed the hysterics, and then I turned her upright, and she broke out of the trance like that.
And
when I turned her head away from that direction.
Now, what about that creature out there?
That creature, the scariest part of this whole episode is that she's seen that creature before and then has talked to her. I described her the creature, and she recognized it from my description.
Does she say, though, when she's conscious, what she thinks this creature is?
She thought at that time that this creature was evil. And I could tell by looking at this thing that it was evil.
What does it want?
I don't know. I've been seeking out help from people who deal with this. My friend is a pastor for an apostolic church.
Does he understand this at all?
And he understands things like this. He has performed exorcisms before, and he says that he thinks it's a demon.
I'm going to go on the internet later and check it out and see if there's a demon that has what you just described. You know, these different racial mix-ups on his body. That's strange. Hey, thanks. We got to run. We're running out of time here. And our next line is our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George?
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm Doug from Fresno, California.
Yeah, Doug, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say you've got a great show.
Well, thank you.
I'm a relatively new listener, just a few weeks now. I'm something of a skeptic, I have to say. You know, I've never had any major paranormal experiences.
As long as you have an open mind, that's all that
matters.
Well,
I saw a few strange lights in the sky the night the first astronauts came down from the space station, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of issues I'd like to touch upon here that you've been covering the last few days. What Mr. Buchanan had to say last night, for example, the Mars pictures. There's a lot of interesting geography up there on Mars, to say the least.
Oh, sure.
I've been
is.
Looking at the pictures, and that psychotic monster car. You know, if he didn't do it, he was involved somehow. The look in that man's eyes, he's evil. Speaking of, you know, being able to see evil in people. But the one thing I wanted to focus on was what you mentioned the other night about that story about the man from India who had
the fetus inside of him, yeah.
The body of his brother inside of him. That relates to that because I'd heard, I think, some days before another story about some baby that was born in South America, Siamese twins.
Right.
Where I think it was almost like a two-headed baby.
Yeah.
And the doctors were trying to make a decision about, you know, as they seem to be doing a lot these days, should they sacrifice one
sure, to save
or
the other.
To yeah. save the other or to make life easier for the other and so on. That reminded me of a story that I saw on one of the primetime news shows years ago, like 60 Minutes or 2020, I don't remember which one. But they had an interview with twin girls. These girls were joined in mid-spine. They physically, you know, facially and physically, they had what looked like a normal body for early teenage girls, early preteen girls,
uh-huh.
Perfectly normal faces, perfectly pretty young girls. but they had two heads on one body. That's what it looked like.
My God.
You know, they were somewhat wider at the shoulders, like you might expect them to be.
And they appeared...
Because the division was right about in the middle of their spine.
And they were healthy?
They seemed to be perfectly healthy. But the important thing is that these two girls had different personalities. One was very shy, didn't talk very much. The other one was more aggressive, more outspoken. These were individuals. In stories, it seemed to cast the perception of people who are physically different as being monsters. These were perfectly normal people who both deserved to have a chance at life, to have made the sort of decision back when they were born to maybe sacrifice one for the other so that we could all not be bothered by deformed people around us.
Do we know what has happened to them since?
That's what I was wondering. Are they still around? Are they still alive? Are they still healthy?
Did they have any kind of name or anything?
No, it was so long ago, but it was on one of the major primetime news shows.
And about what year? Give me your best guess.
I don't know. It's been 10, 15 years ago. They'd be quite a lot older now they managed to survive their condition.
We'll try to do a little check on that. And, of course, the clock is getting us. Don't forget Ian Punnett, Art Bell, this weekend. I'll be live Labor Day night. Let's let UFO Phil on our traditional Friday night send-off. Here we go.
Never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
Yes, that's UFO Phil, who's doing quite well. I think he's coming through Los Angeles pretty soon. Maybe we'll grab him and toss him on the program. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, have a great Labor Day weekend, everyone.